Well, praise the Lord. Good to see you guys again today. It's been a while. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a good one. Of course, there may be some disappointment if you were here. If you were planning on having that Starbucks in the back, I guess you know that's been submarine. Thank you, Billy. And I got convicted during that one point. I was one of them blessed missionaries that probably thought he'd been too busy to write those letters of thank you. I'll get on that as soon as I get home. As soon as I get to free time. It's not just me that's here. I'm here with my beautiful wife. I must say, she's done much to sustain me and help me and encourage me. And then I got a little girl right next door. Ah, stand up, Sarah. She's beautiful, ain't she? She's beautiful. All right, turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 10. Church in Woods sends its greetings. Been having some good luck there, some good work. Of course, every once in a while we'll have a meeting that a little disappointing. Maybe 2, 3, 4 people show up and it's like, oh. But all I need is one.
Amen.
If a ghost shows up, I got a sermon to preach.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's happened a few times and now that I think about it. But there's other times we got more than 20.
Amen.
So, let's praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10. I used to know where that was. But, oh, one more thing. I was talking with Joy West over Thanksgiving about the Bible Project. And he says, for the first time, he thinks he can see a light at the end of the tunnel. So you be sure and pray for him and Brent. They're working long and hard hours trying to get that done. God bless them. 30 years ago or more, maybe a little more or a little less, we used to get a magazine at my house called The Plain Truth. And I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was conservative Christian magazine or so I thought. And I figured I liked their comments here and I liked their comments there. And one day they had a little article on Mark chapter 10 on the rich young ruler. And after I read that article, I said, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is so wrong. What these guys are telling me is that I can work for my salvation. So the magazines went out of the house in the trash, and I haven't read one since then, because I figured they didn't have anything to say. I want to talk about that rich young ruler this morning. So we'll go ahead and read Mark chapter 10. Let's pick up in verse 17. And he was gone forth into the way. That's talking about our Lord. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and about, and saith unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now the story goes on, And he talks more about it with his disciples and says some pretty amazing things. But we'll stop there. I doubt if I'll have time to get through all this that I have. I've got about 10 pages here. You guys that know me know when I get more than one, we could be here a spell. Well, I got 10. I think this is an amazing story, not because I think so, but because the Bible says so. One time over there in Matthew, it talks about actually the story of the rich young ruler is found in three places, Matthew 19, Mark chapter 10, and Luke 18. We'll be going back and forth on some of those passages. But it says over in Matthew that they were amazed. The disciples thought it was an amazing story. And then here, in Mark, at least twice, it says they were astonished. And in one place, it says they were astonished out of measure. So they thought it was an amazing thing that happened here. And not only that, but this is down towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Do you know that? And they are astonished, and then they ask this question, who then can be saved? You figure, after walking with Lord Jesus for 3 years or more, that they would know who can be saved or not. But when they said, who then can be saved, you know themselves, they're included in that who, right? Whatever it was that happened here in this story, it caused them to doubt even the possibility of their own salvation. Who? Who then can be saved? I thought that was a pretty amazing thing. But Jesus unveils or reveals some things here in this story. He gives us a glimpse beyond the physical into the spiritual. And I think that's why they were amazed, and I think that's why they didn't understand, because there's one thing that seemed to become clear to me as I looked through this story through the years, that Jesus gives insight into the spiritual beyond the physical. And only by understanding and agreeing with God's Word can you come to a place where you understand and you acknowledge this story is worthy of acceptance. It's true. It's true. If I believe the Bible, it's true. And the one other thing I would bring out is that a lot of the stories require a decision. This story, this event required not just understanding of spiritual insight, not just an acceptance of God's Word, but it required a decision to be made. And before you leave today, if you haven't made the decision that Jesus is bringing this rich young ruler to, I want you to make it for yourself. All right. So what's going on here in the story? Well, things are not always what they seem. Let's take a look at the rich young ruler for just a second. He came asking with the right question and the right attitude. He came running to Jesus. He wasn't like Zacchaeus, climbed up in a tree and waited for the Lord Jesus to come by to see what it was. It wasn't like the woman at the well who just happened to meet Jesus and then had a discussion with him. This man knew Jesus, knew who he was, and came running to him, and then fell down on his knees. Looks good so far. I think about Nicodemus. He went to Jesus at night. I don't know why he went tonight, at night. Maybe he had to work that day. Maybe there's a big crowd around Jesus, you know, and he couldn't get in. He tried, and he couldn't get in until nighttime. I don't know. Maybe he was a ruler in Israel, and he felt, because of his responsibilities and duties to the people that listened and looked up to him, he didn't want to embrace this Jesus, whoever he was, too quick and show any kind of acceptance. But regardless, he went at night. But that's not what this guy did. During the day, in a public place, he was willing to fall down on his knees and say, "Good Master, what good thing must I do that I'd inherit eternal life?" Well, that looks good. And apparently, this guy has been blessed of God so far in all that he's done anyway. I mean, just the three things that I know of this rich young ruler so far, most of us have on our list of what would you like to get out of life. Here he is with youth. Here he is with power, if you like that kind of thing. And here he is with lots of money, great possessions. He's very rich. I mean, what is it that he doesn't have? As far as this life is concerned, what is it that most people want that he ain't got? Well, what more could you possibly ask for? Well, yeah, eternal life, that is the thing, isn't it? But when I think about this man at this time and in this place. Doesn't the Bible say, help me out, Danny. Proverbs, can you quote me Proverbs 10:22? The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. All right. So here we got a rich young ruler that apparently has been blessed by God. Oh, this guy looks like he's done everything right, and he's in the right place, and he's got a good attitude. Yeah. But you know, he's been this way for all of his life. For all of his life, he's been this way. I don't know if he's been rich all his life. And of course, he couldn't have been a ruler all his life. But he's had a good attitude all his life. Jesus knew him. Seems like he did. Or at least, he was aware of who he was when he came to Jesus and fell on his knees. For example, Jesus told him that, you know your Bible. You know the commandments. And he did. He did. He did. He knew the commandments. This is not a thief on the cross who's never done anything right. That's not who this is. This is not a Zacchaeus who's been taking money for Roman taxes and keeping a little bit on the side. That's not who this rich young ruler is. This is not a Jehoiakim. I think that's who it was. Yes, a Jehoiakim who took the Bible, the Word of God, and cut it up into strips and threw it in the fire. That's not who this is. This is not a Pharisee who praised Jesus by day and plotted his destruction by night. That is not who this man is. This is a man who confessed the commandments. I know the commandments. And I've kept them from my youth. Wow. Would you say he's a good man? Yeah. He's a good man. I'd say he was a good man. I think Billy, I talk about Billy. Yes, I talk about it sometimes. I said, that Billy, doggone him. No. I said, that Billy, he's a good man. He's a good pastor. He's a good brother. I think of Danny. I picked on him a little while ago. But, you know, Danny, he's a good brother. I mean, he's my blood brother. I think he's a good brother, you know. I think about my dad. Hello, Dad. Good to see you this morning. I think he's been a good dad. And I say that openly and freely. I don't reserve any judgment when I say that. He's a good man. And I think this guy, I don't know if he was married or not, but I'm guessing if he was married, he'd say, or he would, be a good husband. I mean, he did keep all the commandments. Imagine he'd be a good father or a good son. Don't you think? Don't you think he'd be a good son? Yeah, I think so. He obeyed his father and mother. He honored them. He'd be a good neighbor, like those Mormons. Huh? Yeah, they're good neighbors. They always mow their lawn and keep the trash picked up, you know. He was a good Jew. He was a ruler amongst the Jewish people. All right? So he was the role model here. He was setting the standard. But the context of this story is not whether he was a good neighbor or a good Jew or a good father or a good son. The context of this story was eternal life. Eternal life. And in that context, Jesus said, there is none good but one, and that is God. I'm willing to say that a lot of you folks might be good people. But if we're going to talk about eternal life, hey, there is none good except one, and that is God. Amen. Yeah, we'll skip that page. So, we begin to look at what Jesus says, and he begins to unveil that things are not what they seem. I like what he says there in that first opening verse. There is none good but one, that is God. Now, how's a rich young ruler supposed to reply to that? I mean, what would you say? Okay, Lord, you're no good. But that wouldn't have been the right thing to say, would it? Huh? That would have been wrong. That would have been wrong. So, okay, I know what you mean from the context, and you're only good in a relative sense, right? As men are in relationship to them. I mean, after all, I think you're a good teacher because I think I'm a good student, right? But that's not what Jesus is talking about. That wouldn't have been the right thing to say. Oh, he could have said, yes, I'm saying you're the good master because you're God. Yeah. Huh? You think that's the point that Jesus was making? Let me see. There's none good but one, and that is God. How many of you guys did good in algebra in high school? Remember your algebra? Okay. If X equals Z and Y equals Z, then X is equal to Y. Is that right? So, if Jesus is good and only God is good, then Jesus is?
Amen.
Oh, because when Jesus posed a question to him, he says, why callest thou me good? The emphasis that Jesus had was me. When talking about him, he's talking about himself. Why callest thou me good? Or, if you want to apply it to the rich young ruler, you could say, okay, I don't know what that means theologically. We're going to skip that part. And we're just going to go with the application to myself. And I admit that I'm not good. Now that's contrary to everything that I've been taught. And that's contrary to what I used to believe up until now. It's not what my grandfather believed or my grandmother believed, my mama, my daddy, and most of the people around me. It's not what they believe, but you said so, so it must be true. He could have said that, but he didn't. He didn't. What did he say? How did he respond to this? Look at verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth up. I've been good, and I've always been good. Regardless of what you say, I'm good, and I've always been good. It doesn't matter what you say, I've been good, and I'm always good. That's what he said. Huh. I think for the rich young ruler to say that, I think he was blind of his own real need. When he was there, on his knees, asking about eternal life, he didn't see the problem like Jesus saw the problem. Jesus saw the real problem. The real problem was a heart that was self-righteous. A man who saw his own goodness, his own righteousness. And so everything that is said after that, all of this is said with the understanding on Jesus' part that this man has a problem with self-righteousness. And that's the way you judge everything that Jesus says through this story. I mean, that is the need of this man's heart. He needs to be humbled. He needs to see himself as a sinner. He needs to be brought to the foot of, well, the Savior. And to stop trusting in money or himself or any other thing. But he's not there yet. He's not there. You know, I think about that question. There's none good but one, that is God. You know, I read a lot of commentaries on this chapter and on this story, and they weren't all by people like us. They weren't all by people who believed that salvation is by grace through faith, even though that's what the Bible says. A lot of the commentaries I read were by the other camp that believed you can work your way to heaven. You need to throw some good works in there somewhere. I mean, you got to do at least something good, right? And you know, they always seem, now I don't know, maybe I just read the wrong commentaries, and maybe I just didn't read the right ones, but of all the ones that I read, they didn't talk about this verse very much. Verse 18, there's none good but one, and that is God. They didn't spend much time on that. They moved real fast into, Jesus said, keep the commandments. That's what they wanted to talk about. But they didn't want to talk about how Jesus started the conversation off. You know, Jesus didn't ask this because it was he was trying to catch the young man off guard, or maybe Jesus was caught off guard. I mean, rich young ruler comes up, he falls down, and he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, how many guys ask that question? Oh, maybe he surprised Jesus and caught their Savior unawares. I don't think so. I think what he said in verse 18, there's none good but one, and that is God, is the key to understanding everything that Jesus said after this. If you don't understand what he says here in verse 18, at the very beginning, you don't understand what comes later. And that's why the rich young ruler, when he walked away from the Lord Jesus, he walked away without eternal life. This story does not have a happy ending. This story does not end in, like, American movies. I love American movies. I mean, they always have a happy ending. I mean, if people die, it's all right. They all come back to life. It just doesn't matter. I love American movies. Every once in a while, I watch one of them European movies. Everybody dies. The good guy dies. The bad guy dies. And they don't get back up. They stay dead. I'm like, oh, man, what kind of a movie is that? What an eye-opener. There's none good but one, and that is God. Look at Matthew 19. None. Look at Matthew 19. Look at verse 17. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life... Now, I remember one time I was at Our Lady of the Lake University, and I was reading my Bible downstairs, and the Bible teacher came in and sat down, and we were reading our Bibles, and we were having a conversation, and you know how it is, you know, the conversation slowly turned to salvation and what does it take for a man to be saved. And I went over there to Acts 16, where the man says, what must I do to be saved? Well, my Bible was open here on the table, and then I covered it up. I covered up the answer. I said, what do you think he said right there? I think she's a Bible teacher, you know. She probably knows anyway, but she didn't know. So, she told me what she thought it took to be saved. Well, you know, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to get water baptized. And, you know, you got to be a good man. And you got to believe in the Lord. And that was her list. And I took my hand off that Bible and I said, that's not what the Bible teaches. Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You know what she did? She closed that book, said, I don't believe it. Got up and walked off. I was stunned. I'm like, no, come back. I don't want you to walk off. I'm just trying to teach you this here, show you something that God says that's really true. Come back. Come back. Please come back. Don't walk away. If you see some truth here, something that's different than what you believe, please take another look. Take some time to examine what the Bible has to say.
Amen.
But she didn't. Right here, Jesus says something really strange. He says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Ooh! Have you ever thought about that verse? Jesus said, keep the commandments. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said, you don't need the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. And I get this verse back. Jesus said, keep the commandments. What's going on here? Why in the world would Jesus say, keep the commandments? If it was not true, surely Jesus is not lying. Huh. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what that young man could have said? That Jesus says, keep the commandments. He could have said, what most people say. Well, I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. He could have said, well, I do. Except nobody's perfect. Of course, it's just another way of saying, I don't. I'm trying is just another way of saying, I don't. But Jesus said, keep them. He didn't say try. And he didn't want to hear about your human excuses of not being perfected. But if thou wilt enter into perfection, if you will be perfect, keep them. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the law. I don't have a problem with the Ten Commandments. They're spiritual. They're just. They're good. The law is good. The problem is not with the law. The problem is me.
Amen.
He could have said, I was really hoping you were going to say something different. I've been trying to keep the commandments for a long time. I'm getting tired and weary. How can I keep the commandments? He could have said that. It would have been a lot more honest. He got a lot better answer out of Jesus and what's coming up, but he didn't say that. You know what he really said? Look at verse 18. Look at the beginning of that verse. And he saith unto him, which? That's funny. Which? Well, there's 10. Forget the other 600. So there's 10. But you know, the ninth, the sixth, and the third, they're not really important. So you don't have to worry about those. You don't have to worry about it. You just got to worry about the ninth, or you just got to worry about the tenth commandment, and the first one's kind of important. And then the others, well, they fall kind of in the middle. Why would he say which? They're all important. They are all equally important. What did James say? What did James say about that? Look at James chapter 2 for just a second. Hold your place in Matthew. I was talking to some Mormons about the law and about keeping the law. And I had a young man, I had him on the line, that he was an adulterer. That in his heart, he committed adultery. Oh, doesn't everybody? Doesn't everybody? Nobody's perfect. So really, let's go over here to James chapter 10, 2. Look at verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of just one. Just one. No, he's guilty of all. There's one lawgiver. There's one law. And it's not a balance. It's a chain. And you can break the first link or the middle link or the bottom link. It doesn't matter. You break any link. And you're condemned. And you're condemned. I remember that Mormon said. He said, well, you know, you can't believe everything the Bible says. You're kidding me. You know, when we first started talking to each other, he had a King James Bible under his arm. And he said, I have a King James Bible just like you do. Yeah, but I believe mine. I believe mine. Right back in Matthew 19. Which? You got to keep them all, son. You got to keep them all. What do you mean, which one? All of them. All of them. Not these 10. Oh, the 600 and something in the Old Testament. You got to keep all those. And you got to keep them like Jesus said you got to keep them. If you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. That's how Jesus defined the law. And that's how he will judge.
Amen.
That's how he will judge when he's on the throne. That's how he will judge people as innocent, justified, or guilty.
Amen.
Whew. All the time. Cursed is a man that continueth not in all things of the law to do them. You know, that's Bible.
Amen.
That's Bible. You know, as a interesting verse. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Okay, I'll skip that. Okay, now we're in Mark chapter 12. Look at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus said to him, the first commandment of all, the first of all commandments, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And verse 33 says, or I'm sorry, 32, and the scribe said unto him, Well, master, for thou hast truth. I said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and soul, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and with all, and to love him, to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Watch this. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Not far. Not far. No, you're not far. You're not in yet. You haven't got there yet. Just like the rich young ruler, after he said, I keep all these commandments. I've kept them all from my youth. Jesus said, Yet lackest thou. Yeah. You lack. Oh, and you only lack one thing. Of course, if you don't get that one thing, you're going to spend eternity in hell. But you're pretty close. You're just one away. It's all or nothing. This man, oh, you're close. How close am I? I don't know. One thing. People don't listen to what Jesus has to say. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter what your heart is. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter if you really do love God. It doesn't matter if you really try to serve God. It doesn't matter if you're basing your acceptance with God on yourself. This is as close as you can get. Not far. Maybe one thing away. But you will never be accepted with God if it's based on your own goodness and on your own merit.
Amen. Amen.
Remember the thief on the cross? Remember the thief on the cross? When Jesus was crucified, there were three thieves there, right? No. There were two thieves and Jesus was in the middle. Okay. The one thief says, Remember me. And Jesus said, Well, you know, you haven't been the best in this life. You've done a lot of things wrong. You've got a long way to go and a very short time to get there. Jesus didn't tell him that. What did Jesus promise that thief on the cross? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
You think that was good news to that thief?
Amen.
Remember the woman, the sinner, she was probably a prostitute, came into the house, she broke an alabaster box, and she was washing Jesus' feet. And a Pharisee looked at the situation and said, If this man were a prophet, he'd know she's a sinner. And if he knew she was a sinner, he wouldn't let her touch him. That was the wrong way to think. And Jesus looked at that woman and said, Thy faith has saved thee. He didn't tell her, I'm glad you're here because I've got a list of things you need to take care of. I have a few commandments here, about 600, that I want you to start doing. And if you do these 600, 660, or 666 or 4, then We can talk about eternal life. We can talk about salvation. We can talk about being accepted with God. But only after you get that stuff done. Clean up your act. That's not what he said. He didn't say it to them. He said, thy faith has saved thee. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Well, why didn't he say that to the rich young ruler? Why didn't he say that to this young man who asked specifically for eternal life? No. Okay, he didn't ask for eternal life. He asked, what good thing must I do that I might inherit eternal life? Oh, I see. What good thing can I do to merit? To merit eternal life. Yep. The law was not given to satisfy a thirst for righteousness. I don't care how much you thirst for it, that's not what the law is for. The law is not, it was not given to satisfy our need for righteousness. In fact, the law was not even given to satisfy God's demand for righteousness. Jesus Christ was given for that.
Amen.
And your trust in Him is what you need.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't need more laws. You figured this guy would know it. After a lifetime of trying to keep the law, after a lifetime of trying to keep the law and failing, and trying to keep it and failing, and trying to keep it and failing, yet still he asks, there's got to be another law. It's a bad plan, son. It's a bad plan. You can't get to heaven that way. You don't need another law. You need me.
Amen.
You need me. Well, Christ continues to teach with the law in Mark. Look at Mark 10. Don't panic. I'm on page 7 already. I think what happens here in verse 21 is that Christ Jesus continues to teach with the law. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Wow, sell everything you have, give it all to the poor, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Now, hold your place there, flip back to Matthew 19. Hold your place there and flip back to Matthew 19. And look at verse 18 and 19. Right? Now these are the commandments that Jesus lists here. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as thyself. Those are the commandments that Jesus specifically talks about. About 6 of them. How many? What's missing? We already talked about Mark 12, but what's missing from that list? What? Huh. What about the first 4? The ones that we already read were the most important. The first commandment. The most important commandments. We're not talking about relationships between men and men. We're not talking about relationships between neighbors. We're not talking about relationships within the church. We're talking about relationships with God. Eternal life. Life forever. Life accepted with Him. And Jesus doesn't even talk about the first most important commandments. Does that seem odd to you? Does that seem strange to you? Then on this question of eternal life, he doesn't even talk about the most important commandments. Seems odd to me. It seems odd to me. So I think what happened is when Jesus talked about those 6, rich young ruler said, okay, I've kept all those from my youth. Jesus didn't even argue with him. He said, okay, now let's deal with the first 4. Let's deal with the first 4. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep the first 4. Starting right now, keep the first 4. I'm God, I already told you. And God is telling you to sell all you have, to give it to the poor, and to pick up your cross, and to follow Him. And what did the rich young ruler say? Can't do it. This, all of the passage is built for this reason. Not because Jesus didn't love the young man. Jesus did love him. It says so. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. But he presented the full law to him. And he could not satisfy that law. And so he walked away condemned. And people who try as hard as they can, who are sincere, who are as loving as they can be, who are as faithful as they can work up, when they go to the law as their acceptance before God, there is only one conclusion. There is only one possibility. Condemnation.
Amen.
Just like this young man right here. You know, Jesus didn't stop him. That's hard, isn't it? Why didn't he stop him? I know, like when I'm down in the basement talking with that lady, she slammed that Bible and walked off. Oh, come back. And I'm just, my love is pitiful. Sometimes I'm more interested in winning the argument than I am winning the soul. You know, just pitiful. But this is the Lord Jesus, who loved himself enough that he gave himself for our sins. And he would not change the lesson. He would not change the gospel. He would not change the truth. He let him go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brother Corey preaches a sermon on that downtown. Man, I like that sermon. But it's hard. I remember I met a Buddhist. I was downtown in Łódź, and I met a Buddhist that was from Estonia. Does that sound crazy or what? I was in Łódź, and I met a Buddhist from Estonia. I'm going like, you even talking English? I mean, what does all those words mean? So I talked to this guy, and in our discussion, we stumbled over this point. We could not get further than this point. We could not get past Jesus is the only way. Jesus. It's not just whatever God you want. Faith by itself is not enough to save anybody. It's faith in Jesus
Amen.
Christ. I was at a table in Warsaw. I was having a Bible study with a young lady. And she was, man, I thought for sure she's going to get saved. She's going to get saved. And we came across this issue of Mary as a mediator. And I said, well, let's look at the Bible and see what it has to say about that. You know, there's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And she said, that ain't right. He says it's God, Jesus, Mary, and man. I said, is that what the Bible says? And she could see it. That's not what the Bible says. I mean, you know, he said, I don't like you anymore. What? Me? I didn't write the book. Didn't change the gospel. You know, the bottom line in all this is that there's none good but one, and that is God.
Amen.
And if you want to go to heaven,
Amen.
If you want to be with God,
Amen.
If you want to be with the Lord Jesus, if you want to spend eternity in some place other than the lake of fire,
Amen.
Then There is a way.
Yes.
It's God's way.
Amen.
And it is not by merit or good works or self-worth or by trying or any such a thing. Look over at Acts chapter 16. The rich young ruler stood face to face with the resurrection and the life. And he didn't particularly like what he heard. I wish he had said something different. Because I don't like that. I don't believe it. And he walked off sad. He walked off a rich man, young man, a powerful man that was headed for an eternity in hell. That's not a very good trade-off, if you ask me. Don't make a mistake. Don't make the same mistake. What I would recommend is here's the Paul. He was talking to a man. In verse 30, the man asked him a question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. He did. He believed. He's in heaven. One day, I'm going to meet him there. Shake his hand. I guess if we do that kind of thing in heaven, I imagine we will. I recommend the Lord Jesus to you today, not self-works.
Yes.
Repent and believe the gospel.
Yes.
Brother Billy?